Good morning. So we're back to ordinary time this Sunday. Not because the church is calling us to live simply ordinary lives, but because this is the time that we are called to live out the mystery of Pentecost. The great Easter season ended with the church receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now you and I are sent as missionary disciples to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our world. And so we're back to wearing the color green. Not because the church is a fan of the Green Bay Packers, even though it kind of scares me to have to wear this. But because green is a color of hope and of eternal life. Just as in the seasons, springtime brings new life as we see the green of the trees blossoming. And so now that we've received the Holy Spirit, we can go forth with hope and confidence. I want to tell you a little story. Last summer, I was still a transitional deacon, and I was assigned at the Cathedral Basilica downtown Denver. And I had this little habit where I used to walk the streets and talk to homeless people and pray with them. But one of these afternoons, it was in July, it was the 11th of July, I remember very clearly, I was walking in the street, and somebody saw me and said, "Father, it's 7-Eleven. Do you know what that means?" And I said, "No." And they said, "You can get a free Slurpee at 7-Eleven. And oh my gosh, I got so excited. I went with that homeless person that I'd never met, and immediately we were in line for our free Slurpees. And I got a Sour Patch Kid Slurpee. And I'm walking back and I'm eating it. And I don't know what came over me. This was not like my personality at all. But I'm shouting across Colfax to the people who are random strangers, "You gotta go over to 7-Eleven. There's free Slurpees over there." And I kid you not, every person I met, I had to tell them the good news that there was free Slurpees at 7-Eleven. Well, I remember coming back to the cathedral to do my holy hour, and it dawned on me in prayer. That's, in some sense, what you and I's relationship with Jesus Christ should be like. Something in me, I experienced something good, a free Slurpee, and I had to share that good news with everybody. How much greater is the good news of Jesus Christ who has set us free from our sins? How much greater the love of God that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This message, brothers and sisters, is not meant for you and I to keep it to ourselves. Our Lord tells us very clearly to go and to proclaim it from the rooftops. If Jesus Christ has changed your life, you can't help but find ways to share that good news with those who do not yet know him. But part of the good news is what St. Paul addresses in our letter to the Romans today. It's the flip side of the good news, you could say, the bad news. And in order to understand the good news of the gospel, we have to understand the bad news, why we need the gospel and why we need Jesus Christ in the first place. St. Paul lays out for us the doctrine of original sin and of justification. He says, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death. The Englishman G.K. Chesterton once quipped, that the doctrine of original sin is the one doctrine that doesn't need to be proven. All you have to do is look around the people in your life and you'll see the effects of original sin. The consequence of Adam's sin, our first parents, is that you and I are now subject to death. We die. That is the first effect of original sin. But also, and this is something we often forget in our culture, we are inclined to sin and vulnerable to temptation. So all of us, on the day of our baptism, we were washed clean of this wound of original sin that we inherited by being born as children of Adam and Eve. But the effects of that wound are still there. You and I still find ourselves inclined towards sin. It's what we call concupiscence. And so what's really important to remember is that we can't blame all our sins on the devil. Because you and I also are wounded from within, and that's why Christ had to come to set us free. I want to read a passage from C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters. Some of you may have read it, and it's a great work. It's the kind of the way the story goes is that it's a series of letters that are written back and forth between a senior devil who's training a junior devil on how to tempt human beings. And there's a lot of wit throughout this, but a lot of really profound psychology to how you and I experience temptation. So the junior demon is named Wormwood. So he says, "My dear Wormwood, I wonder you should ask me whether it is essential to keep the patient, that's you and I, in ignorance of our own existence as demons. That question, at least for the present phase of the struggle, has been answered to us by the High Command. Our policy for this moment is to conceal ourselves. Of course, this has not always been so. We are really faced with a cruel dilemma. Listen to this. When the humans disbelieve in our existence, we lose all the pleasing results of direct terrorism. But on the other hand, when they believe in us, we cannot make them materialists and skeptics." Satan doesn't want us to believe that he is real. And the culture wants us to believe that that's just a whole bunch of kind of storytell that Christianity tells us. But the reality is that Satan is real. Jesus himself testifies to this. And Pope Francis is the pope in modern times who, more than any other pope, speaks about the devil. You and I are in a spiritual battle. And this battle is for the salvation of our souls and those of the world. Heaven and hell are real. But what we have to focus on is that once we recognize this problem within us, the effect of original sin, the more we can cling to Jesus and have hope in the gift of salvation that he has given us. Because the reality is that if sin is as powerful as it is, then how much more powerful is the gift of salvation given to us in Christ? Listen to St. Paul. "But the gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" That's what happens every time we come to the sacraments. That overflowing gift of the love of God comes into our souls to heal us and to purify us from our attachment to sin. But brothers and sisters, Jesus cannot be our Savior and our healer if we don't first have the courage to recognize that we have a problem.